Is it gonna throw you all off if I come down here?
No.
Is it gonna throw you off, Nathan, back there?
No chance back there. All right.
You just don't have a lot of pacing.
Not a lot of pacing. All right. Don't move around much. Forgot to check if that's the right one. We'll hope it is. If not, we'll always thought it should have been, right? Well, we're going to begin these pretty much the same way every time because we want to be reminded of what it says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, it points out that when a disciple is fully trained, you'll become like his teacher. We do want to remember that what we learned this morning is that in original context, this was highlighting that you can't get past your teacher. If you pick a poor teacher, you're not going to get past a poor teacher. If you pick a blind teacher, then you're not going to be anything more than blind. If you follow a blind teacher, the blind teacher is going to fall into the ditch, and you're going to fall into the ditch. However, though that's the original context and the point that Jesus was making, it is based on a general principle that is true no matter what. And so what if instead of picking a blind teacher, I pick a good teacher? In fact, what if instead of picking a blind teacher, I pick the master teacher, and I'm following him? Well, the fact is then what I have is instead of falling into a ditch, I have life. I have life eternal. I have abundant life. I have what I long for. I become like the Master. And this week, what we are talking about in being a disciple means being like Jesus. That's what we're striving to do. This morning, we highlighted in this circle of discipleship that a disciple is someone who honors God. Tonight, we want to move on to the fact that a disciple is someone who learns from God. As we highlighted in our overview lesson, a disciple at heart is a learner, an apprentice, or as I commented this morning in modern pop culture, a Padawan. Someone who follows the master around, who listens, who does what the master teaches, who becomes like the master. That's at heart what a disciple is. A learner. What might be shocking to us is that knowledge that Jesus himself learned from God. Jesus set the example of learning from God. And tonight, I want to talk about that, what we need to understand about Jesus, because a disciple does, in fact, learn from God. Let's kick things off here with a prayer, and let's talk about what we see in Jesus learning from God. Holy God, thank you so much for the word that we have that has come from you. The recognition that Jesus, the incarnate Word, has revealed to us your inspired Word through his Holy Spirit, given to the apostles and prophets, passed on to us, written down so that we can read, so that we may see and know what it is that you have to do, so that we would know your mind, your heart, your will. And we pray that you help us this week as we're wanting to learn more about being disciples. Tonight, help us to learn from your Word, both the inspired word and the incarnate word, that we would learn from Jesus how he learned from you. And then may we apply that to our lives as Christians, as a congregation, so that we can be greater, stronger, better disciples. Lord God, we do love you so very much. Thank you for loving us first. It's through your Son, Jesus, the Word, who is with you and is God, that we pray. Amen. So, it may be surprising to us to consider the idea of Jesus, God the Son, learning from the Father. But I do want to begin there. I want to remind us of that. The fact is that Jesus learned from the Father, and therefore we know that a disciple learns from God. Look in John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. John 8 and verse 28, Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but I speak just as the Father taught me." I will repeat what I said this morning when we read this passage. I do not fully understand how this works. I don't know how Jesus, who is God, who is equivalent with God, who is equal in every way to God the Father, who is God the Son, I don't know how he learns completely from the Father. I don't know if in this passage that there's some metaphorical sense that we're supposed to recognize, but I do know that when Jesus turned to the people and said, let me tell you a little bit about my relationship with the Father, what he says is that he only did what he was taught by the Father. Before we comment more on that, let's look at another passage back in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, this time in verse 30. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, recognize that Jesus once again, he said this repeatedly, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Can we be fascinated for just a moment? Because the one who is saying this is described for us in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the entire account of this gospel begins with, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know this is talking about Jesus because down in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus the Christ, the Word of God, the creative power of God, with God, was God. If there was anybody in all of human history that ought to be able to say, we do whatever I want, Jesus ought to be the one. If anybody in all of human history ought to be able to say, I work on my own authority, surely it would have been Jesus who would have been able to do that. And yet Jesus, while in this world, what does he say? Multiple times, I do nothing on my own authority. I don't do things because I want to do them. I don't do things because they sound good to me. I don't do things because they feel good to me. I don't do things because, you know, I just kind of thought this was the way it would be best. He said, I can do nothing on my own authority. I listen. I learn from the Father. And what I learn from the Father, that's what I do. I'm not going to go off on my own. If I don't hear it, if it doesn't come from God, he says, I'm not going to do it. I want us to recognize that. Now, it's one thing to say that Jesus would learn from the Father. It's another thing for us to figure out, well, how did he do that? And I understand that when we're talking about Jesus, there's the struggle of considering him as the pre-incarnate when he was before being in the flesh as God in heaven. I can't comment on that. There's nothing that's said to us about that. But I do see what he does while he's here. I do see what he does while he was here. And I think that's important for us. In fact, sometimes when I talk about this, I think about, some of you will remember, way back in the last century. That's a long time ago. 1980s, 1990s. Anybody remember that What Would Jesus Do fad that went on? You have the bracelets of WWJD. What would Jesus do? And the idea was not a bad idea. What would Jesus do? Before I decide what I'm going to do, I should think about what would Jesus do. And if I figure out what Jesus would do, I should do that. Now, that sounds pretty good. The problem is, that's probably not the first question we should ask. Because a lot of times when that's the first question that we ask, what would Jesus do, usually the way we answer it is how I think I should behave if I was a really nice person. Because one of the things that we need to remember is that Jesus did actually come into the world, and Jesus actually did do some things. And so instead of just asking what would Jesus do, I think sometimes what we should ask is, well, what did Jesus do? Because if I know what Jesus did do, I can probably assess from that what he would do if he were here, and then I can figure out what I should do. So as we talk about him not acting on his own authority, but rather learning from the Father, well, let's ask ourselves, what did he do in learning from the Father? Well, the very first thing that I hope we recognize is that he learned from God's scriptures, and so a disciple learns from God's scriptures. I know this because I see it in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is taken out after his baptism. He spends 40 days in the wilderness, not eating, not drinking. And it says in verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You think? Man, I'm going to tell you, after not eating for 40 minutes, I'm hungry. Okay? Jesus here, 40 days and 40 nights, he's fasting, he's hungry. What does the devil do? The devil comes to him, and the enemy, the accuser, the opposer of God's people and God's brethren, he says to him, you know, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Do you know why that statement, if you are the Son of God, is actually so significant here? We might miss it because there's a big number 4 and a big heading in our Bibles and a chapter break, and so we feel like we're at a new part of the story. But do you remember what had just happened up in chapter 3? That's where Jesus had been baptized. And when John immersed him in the water and raised him up, do you remember the events that surrounded that? As the voice cries from heaven, as the dove, the Holy Spirit, lights upon his head, and the voice says, remember what he said? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And now, 40 days later, he's hungry, he's exhausted, I'm sure, he's been tried and pushed to the exhausting limits of humanity and human strength, and the devil comes to him and says, well, if you are the Son of God, you know that last thing you heard, the voice from heaven, if that is true, because maybe you can't trust that. But Jesus' response, very simple. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's saying, I have heard the word of God. When he came up out of the watery grave of baptism, he heard God's word, and God's word said, this is my Son. He says, I'm not going to base this on what I've experienced over the last 40 days. I'm not going to look at what I've, the trouble I've gone through and the trial and the tragedy and the trauma and try to guess from the signs. I know God's word. But do you know where this statement came from where he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God? If your Bible has footnotes, it might show you that this is actually a quote from guess what? Scripture. From the law of God for Abraham's offspring and the people and followers of Moses, from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. How was it that Jesus decided how he was going to behave this day that the devil tempted him? He went back to Scripture. And Satan, because he is tenacious and won't give up, Satan, because he works hard, said, okay, all right, fine. If you want to quote Scripture at me, two can play at that game. And so in Matthew 4 and verse 6, he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this temple pinnacle. And then he quotes Scripture from Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He says, hey, two can play at that game. I can quote Bible. But what Jesus highlights is that Satan's quoting it incorrectly. And he demonstrates that when you read the sum of Scripture, that Satan's interpretation of these passages is not accurate. He says, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And now he is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. Satan, because he's a bully and he's tenacious, he's cunning and he's crafty and he won't give up. He says, all right, look, third time's the charm. He takes him up to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all their glory. He says to him, all these I'll give to you if you just fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said, be gone, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And that time he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. All three of these temptations, as Satan is trying to convince him how he should behave, Jesus decides how he's going to behave based on what? God's scriptures. Can we be amazed at that? Can we be amazed for just a moment that Jesus did not look at Deuteronomy and say, I mean, that's 4,000 years old. Who wants to govern their lives today by a book that's 4,000 years old? That was written to people who had been in the wilderness for 40 years. That was written to a nation. That's not for me. He didn't say any of that. What did he do? He said, this is what Scripture says, and that's how I'm going to live. I want us to recognize that Jesus, what did he do? He learned from God's Scriptures. So guys, if he was here today, what would he do? I think he'd learn from God's Scriptures. And if he was going to decide how he was going to behave, if he was going to decide what a congregation that he's a part of is going to do, what's he going to do? He's going to get into the Scriptures. He's going to figure that out. And so what should we do? We should learn from God. I'm not going to do things by my own authority. I'm going to learn from God. That means I'm going to learn from God's Scriptures. Well, once again, it's one thing to talk about learning from God, and it's one thing to talk about learning from God's Scriptures. I guess the question might be, how did Jesus learn from God? And if Jesus were here today, what would he do to learn from God? Well, here's a fascinating thing. I look in John chapter 12 and verse 49. In John chapter 12 and verse 49, this is Jesus. In John chapter 12 and verse 49, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority." See, I told you, he says that more than once. He says that a lot. "I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Here's what I hope we recognize, is that disciples learn from God by learning what God says. What has he told us? We can look in Scripture and we can figure out the things that God says, the things that God tells us. That's what Jesus did. Jesus says, "I'm not going to do it on my own authority. The Father has given me a commandment. The Father has told me some things. He said some things. And when I teach what he says, when I do what he says, I'm not acting on my own authority. Whose authority am I acting on? I'm acting on God's authority. I'm not learning that from me. I'm not learning that from you. I'm learning that from God." And so we ask ourselves, what did Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus did. Jesus did what God told him. And so if he were here today, what would Jesus do? Don't you think he would do what the Father tells him? What he commands, what he says, what he directly states? And so, guys, what should we do? Doesn't it make sense if what Jesus would do is what the Father says, what he told him, that we should do that? I mean, this is not rocket science and brain surgery. We actually act like this in every walk of life. If you're in a class, what do you do? What the teacher tells you. If you've got a job, what do? What the boss tells you. When you do what the boss tells you, are you doing that on your own authority? No, of course not. You're doing that on the boss's authority. When you do what the boss tells you, are you allowed to do that? Well, yeah, of course you're allowed to do that because the boss told you to do that. When Jesus did what the Father said, what the Father told him, he was not acting on his own authority. He was acting on the Father's authority. Because Jesus wouldn't do anything by his own authority, but would do what the Father told him. That's easy. We ought to all be able to see that. But that's not the only thing. In fact, look in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5 and verse 19. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus says this. John chapter 5 and verse 19. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord." That's the same thing as saying the Son does nothing on his own authority. "The Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." Jesus highlights, look, I do what the Father told me to do, but he also did what the Father showed him. Disciples learn from God by what God shows. We get into the scriptures and we recognize that it's not always that God has told us to do something. It's sometimes that he demonstrates for us, or it is exemplified for us, or he shows us. Now, again, I will admit, I don't know exactly how the communication between Father and Son works. I don't know how it was that the Father showed things to the Son, but I know what the Son says. He says, I look at what the Father has shown me. I look at his works. I see what he has done. He's set an example. I know what I'm supposed to do because he has set the example for me. He's shown me. So, what did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father showed him. So if Jesus were here today, what would Jesus do today? Does it not stand to reason he would do what the Father shows him? So what should we do today? Doesn't it stand to reason that what we do today should be what the Father shows us? I learn from his scriptures, I see what he says, and I see what he demonstrates. I see the examples that are set forth. And I recognize. And when I do that, am I doing it on my own authority? When Jesus did what the Father showed him, was he doing it on his own authority? No, he was doing what the Father authorized. He said, in fact, I don't do anything on my own authority. I do it when the Father has authorized it. And I know he's authorized it when he tells me and when he shows me. And again, this is not rocket science or brain surgery. Or actually it is, because you realize that when people do rocket science and brain surgery, they learn it the same way we learn everything else, by people telling them and showing them. You know that, right? I mean, this is really how the world works. When I was in college, I did some trim carpentry. So I worked for a carpenter, and we would put the trim up around the windows and the baseboard down on the floor, and we would put treads and risers in on the stairs, put cabinets in, although I never got to do that. But here's how I learned every bit of it. He would show me, because I tell you what, it's really hard to tell somebody, go do it this way. He would show me. He's, okay, come over here. Let's grab this piece of wood. Okay, measure it like this. Cut it like this. Piece it together like this. Put the glue here. Put the nails there. Here's how you do the joints. Do all of these things. It was how he showed me. And when I did it the way he showed me, was I doing that for myself, for my own authority? Well, no, of course not. I was doing that based upon my boss's authority. And I knew that because I told you I was doing this while I was in college. He had one job that was far enough away that by the time I went to class, if I had driven out to where his job was, I mean, it would have been time to go home. And so I actually, for, I don't remember, 2 months or something like that, worked for some other Christians who were also trim carpenters, but they did it differently. And so you know what they had to do when I started working for them? They said, oh, no, we don't do it like that. Let me show you how we do it. And so then when I did it the way they showed me, was I doing that on my own authority? No, I was doing that on their authority. Now, look, what would have happened? All right, guys, let's think. Thought experiment. I mean, I had one boss that said do it this way, but now I was working for some other bosses that showed me how to do it this way. What if I decided I like his way better? And so now that I'm working for the new boss, I went ahead and did it the old boss's way. What's going to happen? Yeah, see, y'all are with me, aren't you? That's going to get me in trouble, because then I've gone off on my own authority. I've decided I like this better as opposed to doing what the boss has said. We get it there. We understand it there. If the boss shows you to do it this way, you're not doing it on your own authority. You're doing it by his authority. And that's what we see Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm not going to do anything by my own authority. I do what the Father tells me. I do what the Father shows. Now look in John chapter 7. And while you're turning to John chapter 7, let me give you a little bit of background. In John chapter 5, in the story before the passage we just read, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. And the Israelites were upset. Because what were they not allowed to do on the Sabbath? Not allowed to work. All right? Doctoring is working. If you healed somebody on the Sabbath, that's against the law. And so they had been mad at Jesus for 2.5 chapters. They'd been upset at him. And finally, Jesus is now addressing the fact that they are upset. Here's the thing. There's no place in the law that I'm aware of where God said, heal on the Sabbath. To my knowledge, there's no place in the law where God demonstrated. There's no place in the scriptures that Jesus was reading where God even demonstrated someone healing on the Sabbath. So watch what happens. This is in John chapter 7 and verse 22. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it's from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Don't judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Here's the thing that Jesus says. Jesus says, doesn't bring up a law that says he can't heal on the Sabbath. He doesn't bring up an example of somebody healing on the Sabbath. But what he does do is say, wait a minute, you know what they did on the Sabbath? They performed this medical procedure of circumcision on the Sabbath. In fact, when they performed this medical procedure of circumcision on the Sabbath, what they did was they took a man's body and they made it unwhole. They took part of the man's body and they took it away because that was a great blessing. And even if it fell on the Sabbath, they were going to do that. They were going to make a man's body unwhole because it was a blessing on the Sabbath. Jesus says, well, guys, doesn't that imply? If they could make a man's body unwhole on the Sabbath because of the blessing that it offered, can I not make a man's body whole because of the blessing that it offers? You see, what Jesus is demonstrating here is that a disciple learns from what God implies. A disciple, because that's what Jesus did. Now, I get it. We can sit back and we can argue and we can fuss and we can feud and fight about exactly what Jesus' logic was here. We may not know or we may struggle with it, but I do want you to see that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, okay, look, I don't have a passage that says heal on the Sabbath, but there's this other thing, and I can draw a conclusion from that. It implies this. Understand this, though. He doesn't say just because you judge something all right, it's all right. He says, don't judge based upon appearances. It's not just anything that I might judge. You got to judge with right judgment. I have to make sure as I'm reading the scripture, as I'm drawing conclusions, as I'm making judgments, that they really are conclusions and judgments that really come from that. Now, when Jesus looked at the scriptures and he said, you know, this implies some things. This implies if they could do this, this implies that I can do that. When he's doing that, is he acting on his own authority? No, he's not. He's not acting on his own. He's acting on God's authority. And we really do understand that. Because think what the Bible would have to be like, what the New Testament would have to be like, if every single little thing that was allowed, God had to specifically state it. If for us to learn it, it had to be specifically stated, man, that would be huge. It'd be huge. But what God has done is he's given us enough. He's given us enough that when we study it and when we read it and we see what is said and we see what is shown, we can draw good logical conclusions. And we can judge with right judgment. I understand that we've got to come together. We aren't all always going to see it the same. And so we're going to talk back and forth and maybe we'll sharpen like iron sharpens iron. And maybe even sometimes sparks are going to fly when we're doing that. But we keep getting back to Scripture, and we say, you know what, I'm going to learn the same way Jesus learned. How did Jesus learn from the Father? Jesus learned from what the Father told him, from what the Father showed him, and from what the Father implies. That's how Jesus learned. If Jesus were here today, what would he do? What the Father tells him, shows him, and implies. So what should I do? What the Father tells me, shows me, and implies. And if I look throughout Scripture and I cannot find in this new covenant in which I live by the grace of Jesus Christ, if I cannot find where God has told it, shown it, or implied it, whose authority am I acting on when I do it? Not acting on God's. Jesus said, I won't do anything unless the Father authorizes it. He doesn't say, I'll do everything unless the Father condemns it. He says, I don't act on my own accord. I only do what the Father authorizes. What he tells, what he shows, what he implies. Because, guys, this is what disciples do. Disciples learn from God. Why is this important? We actually learn in John chapter 7 why this is important. I know for many of us, the principles we've learned here today are not new. We've heard sermons about this before. But sometimes what concerns me is that these kind of sermons can kind of come off like, you know what? The reason why this is important is because I got to keep the rules better than anybody else so I can go to heaven. That's not why this is important. Because that's not how we go to heaven. We don't go to heaven because we kept the rules better than other people. All right? Why does this matter? Look at what it says in John 7, 17 and 18. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, these questions about where we learn from and what is our authority matters because God's glory. Because when I am doing things by my own authority, who am I honoring? I am honoring me. Do you remember what we learned about disciples this morning? What do disciples do? Disciples honor God. And if the honor of God matters, then the authority of God matters. And we need to have these conversations, and we need to have these discussions, and we need to talk about these things. Not asking the question, well, you think people are going to go to hell for this? I hate it when people ask that question. Because nobody ever asked that question wanting to further discussion and learn more. People ask that question wanting to shut discussion down. Well, if you don't think people are going to go to hell for this, why are we talking about it? If you don't know if people are going to go to hell for this, why are we talking about it? Of course, the crazy thing is if I said, yeah, I think people are going to go to hell for that, they'd say, you Pharisee, you're judgmental and you're legalistic. We shouldn't talk about it. There's no right answer to that question. But that's not why we have these discussions. These discussions aren't about whether I'm going to go to heaven or hell. These discussions are about, am I going to glorify God? Guys, do we believe God's glory matters? I hope we do. Because if we believe that honoring God matters, then we believe that finding God's authority matters. And we need to have those conversations. And I know there's some people, I wish I had made this up. I heard from Brother Doy Moore. I don't know if you guys know Doy. He's a very, very intelligent gospel preacher. I heard him say one time, and so I'll just share this with you. I know that there are some folks who would say that there are other means by which we find scriptural authority and know what God wants from us, other than God telling us, showing us, and implying it to us. Okay. I am open to hearing those. Let's talk about those. But when you communicate whatever those other principles are, use those other principles. Don't tell me, don't show me, and don't imply it. Communicate it to me in those other ways. And then I might be willing to consider those. But if you have to tell it to me, if you have to show it to me, you have to imply it to me, well, we already agreed that's the way you learn. How about we just stick with those? God's glory matters. God's authority matters. You know what a disciple does? A disciple honors God, and a disciple learns from God. And I'm a disciple. How are y'all doing with that? If you'd like to, you can put your Bibles and your notes away, pull out your songbooks, or have it right up here. Lord, we come before thee now. The reality is, God tells us how we can be saved from his wrath. What God tells us is, I've sent my son to die for you. He went to the cross, and he was killed, and he was buried in the ground, and on the third day he rose again. And if you will believe that that's him, he is Lord, confess that he is Lord, bow your knee before him, give your allegiance to him, turn your life over to him, turn away from the sinning that you were doing, and turn your life to him in baptism, following in his footsteps, identifying with him, becoming one with him, whatever kind of phrases you want to use about it, going into the grave with him, being buried in water, and then with him being raised to walk in a new life, you'll be saved. I know that because God tells me and God shows me over and over again. So we're going to sing the song, Lord, we come before thee now. If you have not come before the Lord and bowed your knee and confessed him as Lord, baptized with him, raised to walk in a new life, we invite you to do that tonight. Won't you please come as we stand?